Hey guys, welcome back to the Nerdman Podcast. My name is Hayden. We skipped a week, but we back now. We was moving into a new place.
Yeah.
Which, if anything, just means that we're going to be getting back on the YouTube soon.
Yes.
But we got to make the set look nice.
Yeah. We're currently predisposed because making the set look nice, for one. But we're also encountering ice storms here, which makes getting materials to make the set look nice not as easy.
Yeah, no. Currently, welcome to Texas. Storm.
Yep. I'm here. Victoria's here. Aaron is here.
Yes.
Aaron, why are we here?
Well, for those of y'all that have not watched this before, me and Hayden created a 128-seed tournament using characters from Star Wars, Jedi, Sith, people who are good with a blaster. We each of us present our characters, argue for a bit. Victoria decides a final judgment based on, like, probably the first couple seconds.
Yeah. If she knows the character already.
Yes.
That is not true. I listen to you. Excuse me.
We have a character today that we can test that out on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we go ahead and start with that?
Yeah, might as well. We already here. Let's just keep rolling.
Indira Stokes versus Din Djarin.
Yeah.
Hayden, you're the bottom seed.
I'll go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I have Din Djarin. Victoria, do you know who Din Djarin is?
I've definitely heard the name before.
You should. Victoria has seen everything that Din Djarin has been in. She has not read the comic books, I will say. No. But she
is he in a comic book?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, nice.
They're expanded on. But she has watched both seasons of The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett. Din Djarin is the Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
The father of, that's of Grogu.
Oh.
Grogu's papa.
I just call him Mando.
Yeah.
So does everybody else.
Yeah. So we got Mando up in Din Djarin's here today.
His legal name, but he goes by Mando.
His Christian name.
His Mandalorian name. So he was baptized through fire.
Yeah, he was actually part of the Death Watch.
Yeah.
He was, as a child, he was brought in.
It's like a Death Watch family offshoot.
No, it was actually the Death Watch at that time.
Like,
but then
the tribe that he's in right now.
Yes, the three people. Well, actually, they kicked him out, so he's not actually.
So the two people.
Yeah, but they're crazy, so.
Yes,
they're like religious zealots.
They are.
They are. The armor is crazy.
The armor and Paz, I do not like them anymore.
No.
They're just being ridiculous.
Yeah, but.
And hypocrites.
Just to, like, hit home the point, when I was writing my notes, I said Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. Some older Star Wars fans would be upset with that, but I don't care because his show is literally called The Mandalorian.
Everybody calls him Mando if they know him, or otherwise they call him Mandalorian or The Mandalorian.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have The Mandalorian today, Din Djarin.
I don't know my book.
Get it together, dude.
I dropped my book. You best do Mando justice. One of the most beloved characters in Star Wars right now.
Well, I don't feel like I have to try very hard because she already loves him.
Continue.
Okay, so he's a human male Mandalorian. He is not actually from Mandalore, but Mandalorians aren't a race. They're a
people.
A creed.
They're a creed. Asgard's not a place. It's a people. No, okay, so.
Mandalore isn't a place.
It's a people.
It's a people.
This is the way.
He is the current wielder of the Darksaber, which has its own torrid past.
Yeah. Basically makes him the leader of Mandalore.
And he is father of Grogu.
Special boy.
Special
also
boy.
Also known as Baby Yoda. Or the child.
Or the child, yeah. He was born during the Galactic Civil War, where his family was slaughtered by the Separatists, because that's just sort of what they do. Which garnered a fear of robots or droids that he has to this day. He is more trusting of them now, but...
That's true.
He's getting there. It's a work in progress, you know what I mean?
IG-11 really got to him.
Mm-hmm.
Really helped him come to trust droids.
Yeah. But he still somewhat fears the droid. He was taken... Or saved by the Death Watch, and then taken as a foundling of the Death Watch of Clone Wars fame. Those crazy guys with the blue armor.
Who also were led by a guy with a Darksaber.
Yeah.
Who got his head cut off by Darth Maul.
Fun fact.
Hey, why? What's up with people wearing Mandalorian armor getting their heads cut off?
The weak point.
I mean, I guess I can see that.
And the helmet comes off in like a nice, clean way. You know, it holds the head in there.
The helmet's really...
Don't say that like that. That sounds gross and weird.
Their helmet's always like... It does. They don't seem to jostle around that much, but they take them off so easily.
I have a question. Is Boba Fett's helmet Jango Fett's helmet?
Yes.
So he had to get his dad's head out of there? Do you think it like came out like a spam out of a can?
He didn't wear it until the end of the Clone Wars. Why do you think why? He had to take his dad's head out.
How do you think the head came out of there? Was it like a spam where you like turn the can upside down and it's like...
Mace Windu did not liquefy his dad's head.
He may have, you don't know.
He cut it all clean off.
Like, he did, yes.
So it probably just dropped out.
Why is this a conversation we are having?
Anyways, because Mandalorians, for some reason, have a higher than average rate of getting their heads cut off.
Weak point, man.
Okay, so he was taken as a new member of the Death Watch. He wears Beskar armor, which is...
Counting those four that Ahsoka cut off in one go.
Yeah.
Like she did the Yoda move in Order 66 and cut off four. Yeah. It was dope. It was when
she didn't see that.
Yeah, no, that was dope. That was the moment Ahsoka became like... She was relatable and cool, but in that moment she became like another level.
Anyways.
Yeah, continue.
He wears Beskar armor, which is repellent of lightsabers and blaster bolts, and wields a comical amount of guns and weapons.
Which is comical in Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
They do make a gag.
Yes. He literally does that old bit from like old westerns and like Sinbad, the animated Sinbad movie, where everybody like they ask him to empty out his pockets or whatever and leave his weapon somewhere, and he stands there for like 10 minutes pulling out weapons.
Oh, I didn't even fold that like tiny blaster that like a size of his finger.
Does he have a knee blaster?
A knee blaster?
Like Boba?
No, I doubt it. I don't know. He has never used his knee blaster before. Boba's used it twice.
He does have that thing with the...
He has whistling birds.
Whistling birds.
Yeah,
which Boba does not have.
No.
Though he does have something that kind of looks on his left... on his left arm. He does have something that kind of looks like it. But I think that's his flamethrower.
Yeah.
If I remember right. Or it's...
Well, Din Djarin also has a flamethrower and a that whipcord thrower, because that's every Mandalorian has a whipcord thrower. Because
it's best against Jedi.
That's what you do, man. That's how you're a Mandalorian.
That's how you use the whipcord.
And he is either respected or feared by a great many people out in the galaxy, including Boba Fett. Din Djarin is actually, he's a nice guy. He was just raised wrong. Because those people are crazy.
He has a lot of religious and...
But yeah, I mean, as speaking of religion, like he likes to say, guns are a part of his religion. So
being a Mandalorian,
he knows his way around the weapons and he knows how to use them. So.
Rest in peace, the Amboom rifle, though.
That's illegal. That gun is illegal.
Under every government, yes.
Yeah, that gun's illegal because it disintegrates people.
And they feel that. It's a long, protracted process to them.
The first time Boba Fett showed up and had a prolonged role, he had that rifle.
It was an animated cartoon before
Star Wars, the Christmas special.
Wait, I have a question. How do they know that the people can feel it when the people are dead?
They ask them.
Science.
Okay, sure.
No, it's like, do you know that lobsters can feel things?
Yeah, I heard that they're now...
Yeah, you're not allowed to boil them anymore.
No, because they can feel it.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't... people didn't know that babies felt pain.
People didn't know that babies felt pain?
Science has come a long ways.
They wouldn't use anesthesia on babies.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, because they didn't think babies...
Science come a long way.
Wait, what... Isn't the disconnect in their brain was like
the nerves haven't formed yet?
Yeah, then so they're just like, oh, so they just don't feel pain.
So they cry when you slap them on their butt just because?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for fun, I guess.
It's actually the baby saying, "Ooh, mommy." Harder, daddy.
Stop it.
Et cetera.
Stop it.
All right, Aaron, you have a person.
I have Indira Stokes.
She has not. We know met Bell's Indira Edipal. Stokes before.
No. Indira Stokes. She's the same species as Adi Gallia, who we talked about before. She He got impaled on Savage. This is in Euroscope. She's a Thalanthian.
Got impaled on Savage.
Technically, that's right.
What a great way to say that.
You can see Ember there once again.
Oh.
I'm always down to see Ember.
Yeah. Whenever Loden...
Loden Greatstorm?
Yes. Whenever Loden was Bell's master, she was his best friend. Mm. She's a full Jedi Knight. Whenever Loden disappeared, she is now Bell's master.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, speaking of Bell Zedifar, shout out to my guy Byron Harris on YouTube. His favorite character is Bell Zedifar. So of the High Republic.
And Avar Chris.
Yes, he did. He said Avar Chris, Bell Zedifar, and the one that I texted you about, Keeve Trennis.
Yeah, Keeve.
But Keeve is no longer with us.
Sorry. Sorry, my dude.
Avar won, right?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong dude. We've only been in here for 3 days. We don't even have the tournament hanging up right now.
No, so we can't even check like we usually do.
You ain't even here, bro. Yeah, you can only.
No,
she
moved on because I corrected you on the spelling.
Okay.
Yeah, so Avar is moving on, so he'll be able to see him in the next round.
Her. He'll be able to see her.
In the next round. Yeah, also, I was thinking of Belle.
Belle will also be there.
He'll be able to see Belle and Avar in the next round. Look forward to that, my guy.
Yeah. But anyways.
Anyway. I have Indira Stokes. She, as I've stated, took over for Loden in being Belle's master.
I forgot who that is now. I now remember where she is at in the story currently.
This and one of Hayden's characters is going to contain spoilers for...
Porter?
Huh?
Talking about Porter?
Yeah. Because he was in the second book. It's going to contain spoilers for Light of the Jedi, the second one. The second adult novel.
So Light of the Jedi, and then it was...
The Rising Storm.
Rising Storm, yeah.
And then The Fallen Star. These are going to contain spoilers for that. Mm. So Indira, she was on the Ilfrona outpost with Belle, Loden, and Porter Engel, which Hayden will have in a little bit.
I was about to say Loden again. Because you pointed at me, and I thought I was going to have to say... I thought you wanted me to say Loden again.
No. Porter this time, Hayden.
Loden Greatstorm?
Dope name, though.
He has a great name. We talked about him last time.
During the...
He lost.
...attack on the Valo Republic Fair, she was leading a small group of Jedi Vectors, which are their fighters, basically. And trying to... It was a full-out attack, and they were the only fighters still in the air. So they fought for hours outnumbered above the fairgrounds. At which one point Porter does a sick backflip onto her vector.
Porter, for being 200 years old. He's crazy.
He's wild.
He's a crazy guy.
Nothing really happens to them except for the Ithorian from the first book dies. That was really sad. I like that guy. Anyway, on Starlight Beacon, the great leveler that killed
Loden Greatstorm?
That killed Loden the Greatstorm.
Yep.
Loden Greatstorm knocked out Bell Zedifar. That same thing happened to her and a Jedi named Regal Call, where Regal Call was killed. And Indira Stokes was incapacitated for the rest of the book. So basically that's where she's at in the story right now. But let us move on. My notes are apparently a mess today because I said she had psychometry, which is something Cal Kestis has, not her. And I also mixed up her page with Darth Rowan's page. So this is it's a bit of a mess.
When did you make these notes?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I pulled a U.
Hey, you're still a day ahead of me.
Yeah.
I made my notes today.
I knew that.
So it's probably fresh on the brain.
That's not why.
Yeah, it is. Also, Aaron didn't tell me who I was doing.
I rely
on him to tell me who to look
up. We didn't decide on two of these matchups until yesterday.
This is also true.
Yeah. The Vectors are made to be flown with the Force and used with the Force, and their weapon systems are set up to be run by a lightsaber.
Yeah,
you would put your lightsaber like in a slot and then turn it on, and then your cabin would glow the color of the blade, and then the bolts were powered by the lightsaber.
Okay.
It's basically like you're stabbing people with lightsabers.
You're just throwing lightsabers at people. Yeah.
Like small bolts from the kyber crystal.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but they're set for the basically for the Jedi to idly fly one vector at a time if they need to be. So they can like talk to somebody and then use the force to fly it. On Elfrona, she met up with Bell and Loden with two vectors alone. She was flying one manually, and then flying another one right next to her in perfect synchronicity. She was operating the other one with the force.
I believe that's pronounced synchronicity.
Okay, so synchronicity. But she was flying two fighters at once.
Because she's a badass. Yeah,
she's renowned as one of the best, as one of the best pilots of that era, if not the best pilot of the era.
I bet she couldn't. She still couldn't catch up to Mandalorian's new ship.
The Din Djarin's new ship. Starfighter?
Yeah, with the Nas.
Yeah, with the Nas. That's technological advancement. That's cheap.
Yeah, well, she still can't catch him, can she?
She was also, and we brought up during Bell's episode that he got impaled during one fight. And like he was holding together his cabin at one point
with the force.
Yeah. Once he was able to recover. Before that, Indira was in a dogfight with several other Nihil fighters.
The Nihil is just a bunch of high dudes. Yeah,
It's a bunch of crackheads.
Yeah, a bunch of crackheads.
Who want to just kill people.
Crackhead pirates.
Yeah. While he was still knocked out and wasn't able to, before he collected himself and held it together, she was simultaneously in a dogfight with several other ships and holding together his cockpit with the force. And she was, Bell remarked that she was still helping him whenever he was doing it. Mm. Now, she's not very expanded on character, so that's all I have. And most of her feats...
are force stuff.
Most of her feats are force or fighter.
Flying shit.
She's an amazing pilot.
We ain't flying shit. Also, I saw you flinch there for a second. Her microphone like fell down a little bit. Yeah. And she flinched.
Just worried. It's fallen on me before. Yeah. So
she also has a yellow lightsaber.
Oh, so that's cool.
Din Djarin has a baby Yoda.
Well, yeah, everyone knows that.
Are we including Grogu in this? I don't want to put
no, because that would be that's unfair.
That would be so unfair.
Din Djarin don't even need Grogu for this fight, man.
He's not. Din Djarin's not exactly great with the darksaber.
At one point, Din Djarin had a Beskar spear.
Which he was a lot better at.
Which he was way better at using.
It's Pedro Pascal playing him.
Yeah, and he always uses a spear.
If you give a spear to Pedro Pascal, he's one of the few action heroes that uses spears all the time. He, Jason Momoa, and
Jason Momoa uses like a trident.
Yeah, but most of the time it's a sword because the sword's seen as like upper class and heroic. Spears are seen as commoner weapons.
That's because the commoners were the ones that were in the front with the spears.
And it's also cheap to make a spear.
Yeah, it's stick. A piece of metal. It's a pointy stick.
You can do a lot.
No, not even. Stick. It's just a sharpened stick.
I can't. There's somebody else.
Anyways,
there's somebody else who carries a spear around. Harley Quinn did use it in the last Suicide Squad.
She did.
She did, yeah.
You're talking about javelin? That's a javelin? That's not a spear?
It was actually...
technically?
Despite it... As far as I know, javelins are supposed to be thinner and made to be thrown.
Yeah.
She was using it as a spear. but I'm not an expert on javelins, so don't take me at my word for that.
We're still going.
Yeah. I didn't see it moving. But anyway, I love Pedro Pascal, Jason Momoa, and Harley Quinn and the other person I cannot think of right now for their choices of using spears.
Okay, so
Ray Fisher.
He remembered.
Not Ray Fisher. No,
that's Cyborg.
Ray Park.
Oh, yeah. No, the staff. Are you talking about Darth Maul? Darth Maul, yeah. Or Frog.
Sure.
Toad.
Sure.
He played Toad in X-Men.
Oh, no. Toad didn't use a spear. He used his tongue.
Which is long.
But Ray Park with Darth Maul.
Yeah. But regardless, since we have in the past on characters that are more fleshed out than Din Djarin, not as new as Din Djarin, they used weapons at one point that we also said that they used because they were good at. So Mando is able to use his Beskar spear in this fight. He's much better with the spear than he is with the darksaber, and the spear is repellent of lightsabers. So
that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Case closed.
She's a really good fighter pilot.
We ain't flying nowhere.
Indira is dope. She's really kind.
We're not flying, no, and we don't care if she's kind.
I do. Hayden, shush.
Okay. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm trying to win.
I agree that she sounds very nice, and she sounds like a great fighter pilot, but when it comes to the situation of this fight
to the death.
Yeah, she can't fight in the plane.
Yeah, she has to fight on the ground or outside of a plane at least.
Yeah, so.
I understand.
Also, even if it wasn't a plane fight, I think Din Djarin would still be
his
able to.
His plane is faster.
His new plane.
Or his ship is faster.
Yeah, his new ship is.
Can't really argue because everything Din Djarin has, every weapon a Mandalorian uses, is made to fight a Jedi. He has all of them, basically.
Yeah.
He does.
And a spear.
Yeah. Made of, like, and a dark basically saber. A lightsaber material.
And he's also been a bounty hunter for, like, so long that he's just built to kill at this point.
I don't know. The Mandalorians.
I think
he
should retire.
There's a very low amount of Mandalorians during the High Republic, isn't there? Because they haven't.
They don't even mention them because this is after, like.
The Mandalorian Wars.
Yeah.
The Sith Wars.
Yeah, they don't even mention the Mandalorians.
There's a very low amount of Mandalorians.
Yeah. But, so the winner.
Oh, Mando.
Mando.
Yeah, Mando.
Woo. All right.
And who's Grogu. Next?
And Grogu, of course.
Let's go ahead and go to Porter Angle. So
cool. I have that on the same page.
Wait, no. Actually, we're going to go. We're doing Porter Angle last. Because that one's going to be a good fight. Let's go to the other easy one. Yarhil Poof versus Ezra Bridger.
What is a Yarhil Poof?
He was alive during the High Republic.
Okay.
Yarhil Poof
is actually. He died right before the Clone Wars.
Yeah. He's actually the high seed in this. Yes. Ezra Bridger.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. Ezra Bridger, he's the main character of the TV show Rebels. Yeah. Should you actually go first?
No, I think you should go first, because I didn't realize he was fighting a Jedi.
Should I? You sure you don't
want
to go first? Okay. He's the main character, so this is going to be kind of long. He was born on Empire Day, whenever the Republic became the Empire. That makes him 2 days older than Luke and Leia.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yarhil Poof. Look at that mofo.
That is not a poof.
He is gross.
Okay, how about we do it? Hayden, has Yarhil Poof been in a fight?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I'll continue.
There's him fucking up some Transdoshans.
Why his neck look like that?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Why he got neck like that?
No.
He's
like almost Kamino.
He has like two brains, right?
Because he does. He has
room in the head.
Yeah, he has one brain in his head and one in his chest.
Yeah.
What?
That's his species. He looks like a
what
Kaminoan,
a guy. Here's his head.
His species is like a lamer version of the Kaminoan.
Here's him getting his head cut off by Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That's not how he died, by the way.
That's not how
he
died.
Legends? Or
no.
Is that a vision?
That's a vision.
Wait,
that's a vision.
He got his head cut off and survived. Is it because he
it
has
a
brain? And
Oh, here's when he actually died.
It's like when Luke killed Vader in the cave.
It would appear that he was killed by Jango Fett.
Did anyone show up in
Jango?
He was in Phantom Menace, but he died before Clone Wars.
Ah, okay.
Go whoop. I love that picture.
Who made that? Please never show me
that's
that
a zoom
again.
In
no.
We zoomed in on his head.
No.
They did that to make him look like he's smiling too.
Yeah, they did.
I hate that. Whatever fan art that was.
He is
don't
so
make
ugly.
That ever again.
We should go hit up the Yarhil Poof like beaming art.
No.
No.
What the hell, Aaron? He's 8'7".
I believe it.
He's 8'7"
I think
tall.
He's like four. I think he's like If he had a normal sized neck, he would probably be like 4-something.
Yeah, you're right. It's all neck.
He's half neck. Anyway, Ezra Bridger.
This is Ezra Bridger, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that, normal size neck.
I was worried you were going to say the early Ezra Bridger, back when he was like barely a Padawan. That's like late. Yeah, that's younger him. Younger him also had a lightsaber that had a built-in blaster function as well.
Oh, okay.
This thing.
He's getting crafty with our
He wasn't great in he wasn't great at deflecting yet.
Mm.
So, and you know, what Jedi is going to care if he's using a blaster? There's no Jedi order to tell him not to.
True.
That's true. They're all dead.
Yeah. So he had like a stun blaster built into it,
including Yar-El Poof.
Yeah. Anyway, he was his parents were rebel sympathizers and radio messengers. They were arrested, they presumed dead, all that. There's a long thing in that. He later stole from a rebel group called the Spectres, who were the main characters, and then they found him later. And then Kanan figured out he was force sensitive. A long thing happened. He became Kanan's I think we've talked about Kanan.
Yes.
Yeah, he became Kanan's apprentice. They worked for the rebels for years. He was training and fighting people like the Empire, the Inquisitors, Mandalorians, Darth Vader, and he was tempted personally by Darth Maul. Which is very, it's kind of comical because Darth Maul kept referring to him as my apprentice in front of Kanan. And Kanan was like, they kept looking at him like, are you serious right now?
Does he have a
haunted, you best shut up.
Does he have a haunted past?
Ezra?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his parents died before he could remember them. And he grew up, when you first see him, he's kind of like Aladdin. He's like a Star Wars Aladdin. He's a pickpocket, a thief. He grew up a lot like Aladdin.
So he doesn't have a haunted past. He's just another kid in Disney.
And
they all have haunted pasts.
All the kids in Disney have haunted pasts.
No, all the kids in Disney just don't have parents.
Unless you're Tarzan. You never knew your parents.
No.
Raised by gorillas.
He was raised by gorillas. So
that's cool. He was vibing before Jane showed up.
Are you saying that Jane was issue?
Hey, don't say it.
I'm saying humanity is the issue. He didn't even know he was a human.
With Jane was the issue.
You talking about the triangle man?
I'm talking about the dude that hung himself at the end.
The one he kind of looks like the bad guy from Atlantis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones kind of bad guy?
Yeah, doesn't he look like that?
But he also never
had a mustache.
But wasn't he wearing yellow?
Yeah.
The boots?
The one who was like...
Yeah, yeah.
Who accidentally hung himself.
He looked like one of the Thornberries.
Well, the guy from Atlantis got turned to like stone, so...
Yeah.
It's not really a competition.
But that guy is the problem. Jane is a good-hearted person.
Have you ever noticed that Disney villains die horrific deaths? But we just
It's always their fault,
too. We always
are okay with
gloss over that one.
We're fine with it.
I think, didn't the voodoo doctor and Princess and the Frog get run over by a train? By a train or something?
Something like that.
That's been terrible. That is a terrible way to die.
But it happened to a cartoon, so it's okay.
He got pulled into hell.
That's not better than the train.
Because he made the deal, basically.
He sold his soul to the devil, right?
And other evil spirits, and they pulled him into hell.
Hey, if you go and do bad things, apparently if you're in Disney, you die horrible
deaths. Always your fault.
Well, I mean...
Because the main character's not going to kill you.
Unless you're Hades from Hercules. Because what the fuck are they going to do to you?
He was in this... Yeah, he just got in the River Styx, and it was going to take him a long time to get out.
Yeah, because he can't die.
Yeah.
He's just being drowned by spirits.
Yeah, because they kept you're such a terrible boss.
You know what, man? Hades is vilified for no reason.
That's true.
In the legends and everything, he's just chilling.
Yeah,
except for that.
The Persephone thing was a little bit much.
Yeah, except for that.
But that's Zeus's fault too.
Yeah, Zeus also definitely he defended Hades, which he shouldn't have done. Outside of that, Hades is very loyal to Zeus. Yeah. He just didn't want to mess with anybody after that.
Yeah, he just got dealt the short straw.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Ezra.
Yes,
because there is quite a bit on Ezra. Kanan died during the battle of the Fall, trying to around the same time as Rogue One, and they were all very grieved by that. Shortly after that, they found what's called the World Between Worlds, which is a place outside of time and space that the Emperor wanted to use to kill all of the opposition. And that
is that the place with the three, like the moon, the sun, the force planet thing from Clone Wars?
The entrance to it has the three gods of Mortis on the front.
Okay.
That's when he's in the World Between Worlds, that's how he brings Ahsoka out.
Gotcha.
That's how Ahsoka survived.
Her fight with Vader?
He basically pulled her out, and then she went back in right after the fight. And that's why she showed up. And the end of that episode, she showed up walking away. Because she was pulled. She survived the destruction by being pulled into the World Between Worlds and then going back in. The Emperor wanted it because he could do literally whatever he wanted and stop the opposition from ever existing in there.
Gotcha.
But he destroyed the entrance to the World Between Worlds and left. And he was able to liberate Lothal against Grand Admiral Thrawn, the most menacing of Imperial officers. And he was tempted personally by Emperor Palpatine and refused this. And he disappeared when he attracted Purgles to defeat Thrawn's fleet, causing both of them to enter hyperspace into the unknown.
And is that the end?
That's the end of his biography. He uses Form 4, very acrobatic. He has an enhanced sense of connection to wildlife, including Purgles are beings, are space whales, majestic space whales.
They can enter Star Trek?
No. They can enter hyperspace. They're the original way that they know hyperspace.
The original users of hyperspace lanes?
Yes.
Gotcha.
He was able to connect with an entire herd of them. And, like, convince them to grab hold of Thrawn's Star Destroyer. And Thrawn himself. And then go into hyperspace with him and Thrawn.
Gotcha.
Yes. He also connected with a pack of rare Lothal wolves, which are very connected to the Force and very powerful. One of which was implied to have the soul of Kanan Jarrus in it.
How did Kanan die?
Kanan, during the Battle of the Fall, the Imperials blew up their fuel depot that the Rebels were trying to leave. That's where their exfil was.
Mm-hmm.
And as the fuel depot was blowing up, they weren't on the ship yet. Kanan held back the entirety of the explosion from reaching them. And then at the last moment, so much force was going through him that he actually used force heal without even meaning to. And he healed the wound that blinded him to look at his wife Hera one more time, and then pushed their ship away from the blast zone and blew up with the rest.
Okay.
He used these Lothal wolves to defeat the Empire on Lothal. He was also able to use the dark side to fully possess a Imperial Walker pilot. Causing him to fire on his comrades and then commit suicide.
Jesus.
By stepping into an abyss.
That's dark.
Yeah, this was Ezra's low point. He also was personally tempted by Palpatine and survived. He survived several encounters with Inquisitors, beat a couple of them a couple of times. Survived two encounters with Vader, one of them by himself. And then survived the Emperor twice.
Face to face?
One of them face to face in the World Between Worlds. The second time, the Emperor was there as a hologram, but he was using the Force to try to influence Ezra.
Okay.
And he resisted him.
I think you're good. I think we can move on to Sir Puffs a lot.
Poofy.
All right.
Yari. He is something called a Quarmian Jedi Master. He was a High Council member during both the High Republic and just before the Civil War, or the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
He died on a mission in 22 BBY by what we have discovered to be possibly Jango Fett.
Like right before the Clone War. Wars started. Yes.
He was actually, fun fact, anybody want to guess who his spot was replaced by?
No.
Aaron's thinking. No. Coleman Trevor. Our favorite dinosaur dog. All right.
Also killed by Jango
Fett. He did also get killed by Jango Fett. All right. So Coleman Trevor is the dude that showed up, took his spot. And his main, his main whole, like, thingy, what he do is he enjoys playing mind tricks on other Jedi.
Why?
Because he's been around for so long that he just doesn't care anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, he likes to gaslight. He's a gaslighter. But also, he's a very dexterous fighter because he doesn't have a spine.
What?
So
this just
he,
keeps getting weirder.
He
really is so much like Stitch.
Think of him.
Stitch.
Think of him as like an 8'7", an 8'7" tall. What's his name from Monsters Inc.?
Randall
from Monsters Inc. He's like an 8 foot tall, 8.5 foot tall Randall from Monsters Inc.
I hate this.
So he can move around and he does things that nobody else has ever seen with a lightsaber.
He's giving me more like Slender Man vibes.
A little bit.
Except normal length arms.
Yeah.
With a really long head.
For the body.
Yeah.
Dexterous fighter due to his lack of spine. Anatomy wise, not like actual lack of spine. Like he's not just like a coward. Which means that he could then pull off moves that no one else has ever seen or could do. He was also an expert illusionist, and he was able to mind trick other Jedi into seeing things.
You know how in the Lego movie, I think it was Lego movie 2, like, there was a scene where he's like, spell it out for me, and then, he, like, literally, one of the characters literally spelled out something as a Lego. No, it was Lego Batman.
Okay.
Could he do that?
No.
Can he spell it? Spell out with letters?
No.
No?
I mean, he maybe he could. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Orabesh is very complicated letters.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have to break his body into multiple pieces.
You said that there was one documented fight.
Yeah. Right? He has fought before, like, with a lightsaber. Like I was saying, like, they have evidence that he, like, is able to do things during fights that no one else, like, can do or has even seen before.
Who was he defeated by again?
Who was he killed by?
Yeah.
Jango.
Oh, okay.
I will say that I am not a fan of Yariel Poof.
No way.
Never would have guessed.
Why not?
The only really experience I've had with Yariel Poof was when he was in the High Republic, because he's very old, and he was also part of the council. During a council meeting, they were talking about like how they should respond to something, and someone said, like, we don't have enough Jedi. We're at a low point with our how many of us there are. And then Yariel is just like, well, not actually. There was a point in Jedi history, and he had a really high... When they were talking, on like the voice actors had a really high, pinchy voice, because of course his head is like this.
There's a lot of room for the air to go up, so it like lengthens it out.
Jedi have at one point been down to a couple members during low points.
Well, he was just pointing out how dumb that other guy is.
It was not even related to the argument of Hayden.
Aaron.
That's the only thing I have about Yariel Poof, is that whenever they're in council discussions, he says unrelated things.
Oh.
And then people
he did
are just
that
like,
one time.
The next person that talks is just like, what does that have to do with anything, Yariel?
That's not what he said.
You're like, he should have.
That was not what was said in the argument.
You're
but
like, he should have looked him dead in the face and been like, you dumbass, get out of here.
So Yariel Poof has no spine. He's able to fight with a lightsaber and do things that people don't do with a lightsaber.
They wouldn't want to.
Because he doesn't have a spine.
I should also mention...
He can mind trick and make other Jedi see things.
We don't support gaslighting here.
Ezra was also able to look past the influence of Emperor Palpatine, who tricked all of the Jedi.
Hey,
including
Jedi. I ain't talking about nobody as weak as Palpy here. I'm talking Yariel Poof, okay?
Don't bring Palpy in.
Yariel Poof.
Ezra was also...
It does not get better than that. After
barely any training, he was able to dodge several blaster shots at close range.
Yariel can also do that because he has, again, no spine. He's like a Jell-O man.
Casually while making fun of the stormtrooper who was shooting at him.
Well, stormtroopers can't hit shit.
So, he's also very, for as dexterous as he is, Ezra is also very good at dodging.
Yeah, but he has a spine, doesn't he? He has to abide by the laws of physics.
Spine is like it's the most important thing. That's the only part.
That is the most important thing.
If that's the most important thing you have here, then you don't have an argument.
Yeah.
He don't got no spine. He can move around and do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
Listen to me. I think we should leave him in the grave where he is. Yeah,
Yariel is amazing.
Let him sleep because he's dead.
Let him get shot by Jango.
Yeah, he's already dead right now, so let's just let him stay dead.
Ezra's a question mark on his whether he's dead or not. That's probably what the Ahsoka.
You guys are underestimating Yariel, and that will come back to bite you in the future.
You are too. Your only argument was the man had no spine.
Is that not terrifying?
I mean, it is, but
is that not terrifying?
It's not a good
imagine
enough
an 8 foot long slithery thing with no spine coming at you
again. You're
like this.
The
he probably
guy.
Walks like this because he's so long. He looks like a flat Stanley, but he's like moving towards you, which is terrifying.
That doesn't
because you probably can't even see his legs moving.
It's not him. He has other bones.
Oh you probably can't even see his legs moving. He's just like doing this with his upper body, and his lower body is just. Floating towards
at the
you.
End of the day, that doesn't make him a good fighter. No. Just because, actually, that
he's
makes
ominous.
Him, no, that makes him a worse fighter because
no,
he lacks spine.
He'll look like Shrek in the factory where they make all of the potions and stuff. Where he's just much bigger than
working
everybody
harder,
else.
Hardly working
yeah, that's dude, him.
He's scrawny though.
He is not.
He's
scrawny.
Shrek
he's
walking around like the Rock.
He's not. He is fat. Shrek is fat.
But size comparison wise, he was walking around in a factory like Dwayne Johnson in a factory full of Kevin Harts. Yariel is scrawny. It's like
he's scrawny, but he's 8 feet tall.
It's like no offense to John Mulaney. It's like John Mulaney walking around in a factory of Kevin Harts.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think we should move on. So thanks for that.
Ruin versus Cognis. You guys are wrong. This. Hayden, you're first.
You will rue the day.
No one's going to rue anything.
Ruin the day.
No, you won't. Cognis is about to ruin you, dude. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you're the low seed.
What a mistake. Okay. I have
me go first.
I have somebody called Darth Cognis.
Okay.
It should be mentioned for those of y'all that are starting on this episode. Me and Hayden had no idea who these people were before this. Whenever we did the selection show, both of
we
us
guessed.
Looked at them and guessed.
That's why they're in the middle.
Yeah. So we just threw them in here together.
Yeah. Because we knew who was good and who was like bad. So everybody else was just sort of in the middle.
We used this matchup as a joke of the characters that we don't know.
Cognis is not a joke. I will explain now.
Okay, go ahead.
I have Darth Cognis, also known as the Huntress.
Yeah, you've already said that.
The Huntress.
Okay.
The character from Birds of Prey.
She was an apprentice. She was an apprentice to both Darth Bane and Darth Xana.
Did she use a crossbow?
No. She was a Sith assassin during the Old Republic. Before she was a Sith.
Like a Ventress.
Before she was a Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ventress was a Sith.
Before she even knew how to use a lightsaber.
Okay. I'll take it.
She was able to incapacitate and capture Darth Bane.
Okay.
Was he young?
No.
This was
during the rule of two, Darth Bane.
Okay.
Okay, so this is like serious Darth Bane. And battled the Dark Jedi Set Hearth to a standstill. Before she had any introduction to the dark side. Then, after being introduced to the dark side, she was a renowned Jedi killer in the Sith ranks. She never lost.
Never. Not something against Godness. Do you think the fact that the Sith had to call her a renowned Jedi killer in the Sith, do you think that's really just pointing out why they needed the Rule of Two? It's like, if you're renowned in the Sith and they call you Jedi killer, it's a credit to that person, but it's really a discredit to the organization overall.
The organization.
You're the mortal enemy of the Jedi, and y'all don't kill Jedi.
Anyways.
Yeah, continue.
She could see a person or place's past, like Cal Kestis.
Very fitting her name being Cognis to know.
She could suppress others of Force abilities, mainly the dark side. If you were not imbued by the dark side, it just made you sick, like physically ill. But if you were dark side, you get no Force. Sorry, friend.
Like forever?
Like she would
until she gives it back to you.
She would steal their Force, pretty much?
Even Darth Bane.
Okay.
Wow.
She never used a lightsaber. She preferred various blades, like vibra blades.
I thought that one picture of her had her with a lightsaber.
She doesn't like using lightsabers, because she had always used blades.
Okay.
And even against other people who did use lightsabers, she preferred using the blades and then would kill them. So she's a pretty serious character, but that's pretty much all I got.
So, you have questions.
Has she killed anyone else? Like of note? Notability?
Various Jedi knights and masters?
Okay, you're done.
I'm going to be honest. It's not going to matter. Okay. Darth Ruin has never been directly shown in any media that is canon. Has only been indirectly mentioned. Compare Cal Kestis over here on the Cal Kestis' page.
Jesus, next. Aaron.
This is
Darth Ruin's page. You got like four lines.
Yeah, no.
And one's his name.
It's like a tenth of Cal Kestis' page. He's an Umbaran.
Good for him.
He founded the new Sith. That's what he did. He was a Jedi Master named Phanius, with PH. Known for his philosophy going against the Jedi because he was extremely self-centered.
Not surprising.
And thought literally the universe revolved around him.
Why is his name Ruin?
Ruin? That's the name he took.
Yeah.
The Sith were not.
He chose
around.
That?
Yeah. Maybe he was like, I'm gonna bust in there and ruin shit. So I'm gonna be.
Cognis actually works really well with her psychometry because Cognosco actually means to recognize, which would be very well. Works very well with her psychometry.
What else do you have?
Anyway, he was.
We can't let him go off on his tangent about Latin.
No, not again.
No.
We don't have time for that.
No, he left the Jedi Order and founded the new Sith.
Surprise, surprise.
The Sith that would eventually go on to fight in the Old Republic, as far as I understand. And he took the name Darth Ruin. I don't really care to look it up, because, again, there's three lines on here. Took the name Darth Ruin and simultaneously converted 50 Jedi at once to, I'm unsure if he converted them by talking to them, if they were already leaning that way, or if he used dark side influence to get them to turn.
I hate to break it to you, but those 50 Jedi is probably less than Darth Cognis killed.
I understand. And then he ruled the Sith with a doctrine of individualism.
Mm-hmm.
As long as that individualism was him.
Individualism as in individual, as in me.
Eventually, after the new Sith Wars and all that, his disciples martyred him because they were so sick and tired of his egomania.
I'm sick and tired of your
Wait,
bullshit.
So he wasn't even killed by anyone interesting. It was just a mob of people.
It's very Sith, where his apprentice killed him.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of an omen that the Sith were founded on a guy who got murdered by his apprentices, and then that Sith would end with the Rule of Two, which is based on that. And then, I tried to look up feats. He's only indirectly mentioned. They talk, from what I can tell. I looked at his appearances, canon appearances on Wikipedia. The biggest one there is the Phantom Menace novelization, and they just mentioned him.
This guy's ass.
It says indirect mention.
This guy sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. He was on the list of, like, most powerful Sith.
Good for him.
Well,
I'm sure he. Did he make the list?
He was on there.
Did he make? He made the list.
He was on the list. Yes.
No, he made the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was on there.
Because he made the list, Aaron. He published that website you were reading.
Oh, he made the
list. Yeah, he made, like, physically made that list.
That took so long for you guys to be on the same page on that.
Yeah. So,
Victoria, do you have
questions?
No.
Do you have a winner?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Darth Cognos.
Cognos.
Oh, I don't know if this is going to change your mind here. Darth Ruin, he had a lightsaber.
Go, good for him.
She did have weapons. She just didn't like using a lightsaber. So
yeah,
I'm gonna say no.
Okay,
but thanks for sharing.
Yeah, Porter Angle versus Cal Kestis. I'm the low seed, but I think Hayden should go first.
Yeah, I have less than you do.
Yes. So go ahead with Porter Angle.
I have Porter Angle. He is also known as the Blade of Bondotta.
Bardota.
I wrote Bardota. I just misread it.
You saw your auras end, didn't you?
Yeah.
Bondotta.
He is the Blade of Bardota. He was a Jedi master during the High Republic, in which time he was about 300 years old. 250 years old.
Aaron should just present.
He was. Are you going to keep going down? He was universally renowned for his swordsmanship. He was literally a living legend in the Jedi Order. Man knew what he was doing. Knew his way around a lightsaber. He was also beefy. He's a big boy. He has a huge beard.
The comic version of him. I showed Victoria him while we were taking a break and during this. The comic version of him kind of looks like the Vikings, like the adult Vikings in How to Train Your Dragon.
Kind of does, doesn't it? Yeah, so that's Porte Ingale. His most notable thing, obviously Aaron had mentioned him backflipping on top of a moving ship.
Yeah, after his blew up.
As a 250-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Another thing that he did was him and Bel Zedifar were like clearing mines. Do you remember this?
Yeah, like
they were like jumping mines.
Yeah, they were kind of like jumping mines, but they also like they went after you specifically. They would move underground and then jump up at the last second.
Yeah, and then they would explode right as they got to like 2 feet off the ground or whatever.
Yeah.
So he got Porter Angle got tracked by like 5 or 6 of these babies, and they came up at the same time. And he destroyed all of them before they could explode. He has a dual-bladed lightsaber?
No, he was using the reverse grip. Which shows that he does understand at least upper and lower grip.
But yeah, so he was able to destroy these jumping mines before they could explode. Which you can kind of guess that's pretty quick. And this was an old man. It was so impressive to Bel Zedifar that he could even do that. Because he couldn't. He couldn't envision that was the same guy.
Because he was in retirement.
Yeah, and like he had never seen Porter do anything, really, other than be a cook, which was what he was deciding to do.
He's very good at it.
9-egg soup.
Yeah.
Is his renowned dish. But yeah, his quickness and like his ability with a lightsaber surprised Bel Zedifar because he just doesn't look like he would be quick or good with a lightsaber because he's like an old retired guy. But he is extremely good with the lightsaber and quick, very quick, able to jump backwards, do a backflip onto a moving ship, and use lightsabers so well that he is renowned with a special nickname about his lightsaber ship.
What is it?
Blade of Bardota.
Blade of Bardota.
Oh, okay.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do love Porter Angle.
Porter's great.
Porter is a wild guy. He and Buckets of Blood. If they were alive during the Clone Wars, that would have been so dope. They would have kept like battle tallies with Anakin and like try to compete with him constantly.
They would have,
But context is very important here.
And he would have won probably.
Yeah, if he was, especially when he's younger. We only know Porter Angle
as an old guy,
as in retirement, and the lifespan of his species
is 300 years.
Yeah, so he's coming close to his life expectancy. He's in his waning years, pretty much. Mm. And while he was in his youth, it was fairly peaceful. That galaxy didn't get violent again until he was at the point of being 250 years old. Cal Kestis, we've mentioned him before. He's Jar DePaul's Padawan, who survived Order 66 and made the Empire so mad Darth Vader got involved.
Yes.
And then he survived Darth Vader. So I should mention, first, before I go into it, actually, I would do the biography first. He's a Jedi Padawan to Jar DePaul. To Order 6, DePaul died. Cal lost his lightsaber because he was, 11. And then he took
DePaul. And had been shot.
Yeah. Well, no, that he was in the elevator shaft and dropped it. He later got shot in the cheek defending Jar DePaul. Which, defending Jar DePaul, he developed a technique that was not used by the Jedi called Force Slow, which is basically, Victoria, Force Freeze that Kylo Ren uses.
Mm.
Except it's used in, short, tiny, spurts over a long period of time. So, it holds them for a split second, then lets it go and holds them again. So they're able to move just very slowly. And it works on them, as well as working on the blaster bolts. He also used this on Force users. The only person who could use it against him, he fought several Inquisitors and then Fallen Jedi on Dathomir, which is a dark side planet. The only person who could withstand a fort and cancel it was Darth Vader himself.
Hmm.
Anyway, he took DePaul's lightsaber, which was broken. He later upgraded it from a single to a double and then to a split saber, using both his DePaul's lightsaber and Seer's lightsaber and his own crystals. Which, if you don't know what a split lightsaber is, it's a double-bladed lightsaber that you can split into two single-bladed lightsabers. He was, after Order 66, he was a scrapper on Braca, decommissioning Redditors for several years, until he was found by the Inquisitors because he saved his friend from a fall, and poor Prof. Got stabbed after that because he was defending Cal.
Yep.
He allied with Seer Junda and Grease and BD-1 and found a holocron to try to restart the Jedi Order, but destroyed it after seeing how far the Empire would go. Which, how far the Empire would go was send Darth Vader. His lightsaber form has been actually debated quite a bit by Star Wars fans. It's likely he just knows Form 1, formally. Just knows Form 1, which is the basic one. Because he was still in training. But people looking at it actually think because, based on the cutscenes that we've seen, and the availability to do several different things, because he's a video game character, they think he actually uses Form 6.
Mm.
Which is the all-around, a lot of different things. It would make sense for a video game character to use that. Other than that, improv. Just a lot of improv, and he's really good at improvising. He's also good at Jar-Kai, which is using the two lightsabers. Going to the miscellaneous things, you cannot talk about Cal Kestis without talking about BD-1. You know a BD. You do know a BD. You know when Mando came back in Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
There was that little droid that, it was super cute and helping him work on that Starfinder.
Yeah, that little two-legged.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
I have a picture with him and BD.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a BD Explorer. It's a different droid, most likely. This is BD-1, but it's a BD Explorer droid, which is made to help people and, explore colonies and also keep a log of everything they found. BD-1 is capable of providing healing stims to Cal during fights. And he can hold up to 10. And those healing stims in the game could replenish your force completely and almost all of your life, which translates to, using the force takes a mental drain on you.
Mm-hmm.
It replenishes him. And it basically fully heals him, almost. BDs can also shock enemies with like an overcharge ability that he has. He can use a Scomp Link like an Astromech. He has a holo map, reverse zip line, and can record and keep an inventory of everything they see. Now, Cal, have you ever thought about how athletic Cal has to be whenever you're playing that game?
Yeah.
He does so much parkour.
he does do a lot of parkour.
Yeah. He's really good at climbing. Mm. And the things he has to, like, you know when you're watching like American Ninja Warrior kind of thing?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're just holding on by their arms, and then they throw themselves up to something else. He does that several times and like doesn't seem tired. Which makes sense when you think about he's a scrapper, and like there's no labor loss.
He will die regularly.
Yeah, he's a scrapper. There's no safety regulations, so he was crawling on the outside of those ships and going through the nooks and crannies in unsafe environments since he was like 12. Mm-hmm. And he did this for 9 years. And he was hiding his force ability, so none of that was force assisted. So he has the physique of a dude who does rock climbing every day for 9 years.
Meanwhile, my guy has a physique of a man who sits on in a couch every day.
And he also is force assisted. So,
and eats Cheetos. Because
Jedi have naturally high physique thanks to the force. Anyway.
He's getting lost again.
He also is able to switch between. There's several moves he does that he switches between one blade, two blades, and breaking his lightsaber into two separate blades. He works through that in combat seamlessly to constantly put his enemies on edge and keep the and be unpredictable. So he'll be switching between fighting with one blade, two, yeah, all of that. And he does it very, very well. Do I need to go on to feats or?
No.
Okay.
I do have a question, though.
Yes.
Well.
What? Did you have a question?
No, it's your question.
Oh. So, in this fight and encounter, is he approved to use BD?
Yeah. Or? When we talked about companion, like going in here, Bell Zedifar going here with Ember, Embo going with Marok. The idea we had came from Cal Kestis, because Cal Kestis and BD-1 are like two sides. You can't have a coin without two sides.
Yeah,
they're two BD sides of that coin. Is on him when he is fighting people in the game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're talking about Cal in fights, BD's part of him.
Okay. I was just asking because I know we didn't include Grogu with Mando, so I was just making
that's
sure.
Just Mando has fought without. Yeah. Mando has fought without Grogu.
Yeah. Countless times.
Yeah. This is the, like, ideal. BD and Cal are, like, the ideal, like, companions.
Okay.
In fights and stuff.
Cool, yeah. Yeah. Did you
have... my only problem with Cal Kestis is that all of his feats are from a video game. So it's hard to judge caliber of people that he's fighting, because you could play that video game on beginner, where in reality they don't really stack up. Because, I mean, you can't count Darth Vader in this, because Darth Vader is Darth Vader, and Darth Vader does the same thing to whoever he sees in that game, no matter what level you're playing on, and you never fight him.
It's still so, the base thing you're talking about with abilities and stuff like that, with the difficulty, he still does all of the enemies he does fight, you still have to fight, so it is hard to scale the animals that he does fight, like the Yotas and the Gorgara, which I have on the giant bat from Dathomir that he killed.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to scale that, but we can scale the Inquisitors, and we can guess that a Yotas is a giant troll it like breaks the ground when it hits it. And the Gorgara is a 100-foot bat from Dathomir.
Yeah, he don't play.
They're very dangerous things. And you can... he did survive Darth Vader by himself.
By running away, yes.
With him and BD-1. Which no Jedi has kind of done that, like, alone. They've always...
Obi-Wan.
That's different.
Well, Obi-Wan's about to do it in the new TV show, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Twice. Obi-Wan and Luke. The rumor I've heard is twice.
Yeah. Oh. That is different because it's very personal for Vader in those instances.
And it's Kenobi Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi for crying out loud. That is the best duelist in the galaxy with so much trauma.
So much. Poor Obi-Wan. Man.
Also, I should mention, to all y'all viewers out there.
Listeners at the moment.
Yeah. I'm not very confident about what I wear. I don't wear like a lot of things that I wear, like graphic tees and like jackets kind of thing. Sure. Cal Kestis.
Whenever you wear clothes, that's what you wear.
He's the reason I talked to him about buying ponchos. Cal Kestis.
He does want to buy a poncho. If you guys want to send Aaron a poncho, he wears a size large poncho.
Yeah. Here's a size large like, ponchos poncho.
Ponchos look so cool. I just don't have the confidence to try it.
He did say that he won't rock a pink one.
No. Cal Kestis can wear a bright, hot pink poncho.
Mm. I'm pretty sure my Cal Kestis in the video game did a couple times. Mm. But Aaron personally said that he will not wear a pink poncho.
No.
So.
Yeah, y'all don't have to, obviously.
They have nowhere to send it.
Also, Aaron won't buy one for himself.
Yeah, I am very...
He won't even show up and buy a poncho.
No. So, one of these days, you'll see me get on the episode with a poncho. I'll eventually buy one, probably.
One day.
But yeah, Cal Kestis is the one that makes me want to buy a poncho.
Okay.
He's like 30
fashion icon.
Yeah. He is to me.
Victoria, do you have a winner?
Yeah. I think to end out today, we will end it with Cal Kestis.
I actually said to Hayden before this, this is a day of just upsets.
Yeah.
And I was right. We're right in the middle of the bracket, so everyone's really close.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is all bottom seeds win.
How many more episodes do we have of this round?
We have 3 more episodes in the first round. Then we move on to the second round.
Second round.
Who do we have next week?
Next week we have... Oh, we haven't talked about Kane and Kane's last episode of this round.
Oh.
Next week we have... Noobs. Darth Vectigus versus Darth Geen.
God damn it. More Sith, we have no idea who they are.
Ulic Caldroma versus Quinlan Vos.
Caldroma?
Yeah. He's finally getting... We've talked more... I think we presented all of Ulic Caldroma just through other characters.
Put it together.
Yeah, we'll just have to compile a history of him. Qui-Gon Jinn versus Fennec Shand.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, that one's going to be dope, though.
Yeah.
Fennec versus Qui-Gon.
I can already kind of see who's going to win that one, though. Mm.
And then finally, this one's also going to be dope. Elzar Mann versus Orbelin.
Man, they're like friends.
Yeah, well, Orbelin thinks of Elzar as a friend. Elzar's kind of annoyed by Orbelin.
Is Orbelin that one who's like the jelly guy?
Yeah.
That wears like that a spacesuit all the time?
That fought Lona D by himself in one.
Yeah. But he's like, he's like has like a robotic suit. He's like the henchman of Will Ferrell's character in Megamind. He's the henchman of Megamind. He's that fish in a jar that has a body.
Also, his robotic suit kind of looks like the original Lost in Space robot.
The guy from that was also in Looney Tunes Back in Action?
Yeah, in Area 51.
What is that? Like, what did they call him?
Bugs Bunny put the
popcorn. Yeah. What did they call him? Rob. Maybe. No, Rob is something. Rob is Rob. Yeah. What is that guy's name? Do you have any idea who we're talking about?
No.
Okay. That's fine. I can't remember that dude's name.
Robot.
What?
Aaron, I think it's just Robot.
Aaron, don't lie to me. Oh my god.
I think it's just... I looked it up, like Lost in Space Robot, and it came up, Robot, fictional character.
Robot, fictional character. Thank you, Aaron.
I'm fine. It's okay. Anyway, we'll figure out. Nope, it's just Robot.
It's just Robot.
Anyway, that's all we have for this week.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week, everybody.
Oh. Catch you next week.
Talk to us on the socials, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Maybe watch you'll get a shout out.
YouTube videos.
Tell your friends about us.
Yeah, maybe you'll get a shout out.
Yeah. Like, we should do shout outs.
Like what we did earlier.
Ow.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to go. Bye, everybody. Have a good week.